What's up, F3 Boise? This is Tyler Giller, 32, Doodle.
And James Whitman, 40, Hooch.
And Garrett Marsall, 37, Cortana.
And this is Stuff Worth Sharing. It's been a minute since we recorded.
One month to the day. So last time we came to you, we were recording December 23rd, and today is January 23rd, for those of you who math good out there.
And I think this is our seventh episode that we've done so far. Biggest break between episodes. Hope everybody had a great Christmas, a happy new year, and is jumping into the new year absolutely crushing and destroying goals.
Survive the holidays, set some goals, attacking things, and feeling the burn.
Well, unless you're showing up in the mornings right now and you're feeling the cold, or you're feeling nothing.
It's just a different burn.
I think Backyard had their first cluster freeze.
It was close.
Was it close? It wasn't quite there?
I think we had 7 this morning, and it was 8 degrees.
Ooh. Oh,
so almost.
See that.
So close.
So close.
I thought we were going to have one on Tuesday out at Tower. I think we had 11 guys, and it was like 15 degrees.
Yeah, it was... Got close.
But the weather called for like 9. So the 8 cheesed weather forecast was predicting a cluster freeze.
Yes. So if you don't know it, cluster freeze is when the number of packs attending the beatdown exceeds the temperature of the air outside that you're beating down in. So yeah, once you get that into a positive ratio, you know you're absolutely embracing the suck out there. So
yeah, come out the tower for a cluster freeze. You'll see Moab, mine, and Huckleberry's beards all freeze.
That's right.
The solid blocks.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So, guys, after a month, what's worth sharing with you guys at the moment?
Well, we do have one VQ that went down over the past month. January 15th, Trippin out at Rise at his VQ. Had nice. 9 packs show up out there and support him. So great work, Trippin, on stepping up and taking the next step to lead.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so as we're jumping in here, kind of reviewing what was going down here in this last month, I think the biggest milestone that we saw was the 4th anniversary of F3 Boise. Yeah. We are this many. You're this many. it's still on one hand, guys.
Yes.
But thank you for everybody who came out to Retina and Grout for coming out there and leading that and absolutely putting us in the dirt. And, man, that was tough.
It was a good one. Got some table pushes in there.
I'll do all the table pushes. Pearl, you good man. I love you, brother. That took us all out. But yeah, some extra struggle from some folks. I love you, buddy. I hope you're listening to this.
I had some serious FOMO over that one.
Oh,
got stuck in Alabama.
Well, I think that's... So Grout ended up doing like sets of 25 in cadence, and I didn't understand why we're going this far on this, and then I found out later that it was supposed to be a 3-headed monster instead of a 2-headed monster.
Yes.
Oh, that's why I'm suffering so much right now. That's why I'm on my 5th set of no surrenders out here with Retina.
Well, on the mumble chatter was like, man, Grout has to do this again because they were rotating stations.
Right.
Like, how is he going to do that?
Yeah, big shout out to Grout and Retina for picking up my slack.
Totally.
While I hung out in a hotel down in Birmingham, Alabama.
And then some absolutely top flight, second F time out there at the pavilion with a couple of fires, a couple of heaters that were much appreciated. So if you brought one of those out, you know, thank you. Your infamy within F3 Boise lives on. Bacon and the pile of donuts that were on those tables, utterly ridiculous. And being like, I'm like 4 or 5 days into 75 right. hard at this point, like kicking gluten out, and I'm
just
like,
smell it from a mile away.
Oh my, I got to turn my back. I literally turned my back. I'm gonna find a fire, and I'm not upset. I do not want a donut.
That's right.
So whoever brought the donuts, I'll find. I'm gonna find you.
Doppler's got the list. Hunt him down.
So let's jump into what's coming then. What's happened? What's in front of us? So let's talk about this. The next thing that's coming up here is this Friday. We've got the Capital Ruck Tour is joining. It's coming to F3 Boise. That means F3 Linus, a.k.a. Cadre Danny, is coming into town, bringing his one pony show to to the City of Trees. So he's going to join us at Friday at 5 o'clock, Veterans Park, Veterans Memorial Park. He's going to be out there first, leading an hour and a half beatdown, kind of a demonstration of proper form. So exhibiting that, how a beatdown is supposed to be run, how we can make sure that we're doing things appropriately. That way that we're pushing to the best advantage that we can and avoiding injury. So, and then following that, we have planned an hour and a half ruck, 10K out to the Capitol building and then coming back to Veterans Park. So it ought to be a frosty one. But I'm looking forward to that. It looks like something that, that could be a ton of fun. So if you're able to make it out there, they are asking for donations. So into F3 Nation, this will go towards some of the F3, some of the work that we're doing in Kenya with the F3 group there, and also contributing some money to some Special Forces Memorial Funds out of Maine, I believe. Mm-hmm. So good causes, good information, and good work to be had while we're sweating out there. So F3 Nation, if you're on the fence and you're listening to this, very much please consider that. And I know there was a note from Gopher that if the money is going to be an issue for you at all, if that's at all an impediment or a question that you have of whether or not you want to invest in that, don't worry about it. Somebody will get you fronted and it'll be all right. So what we got coming up after that, Doodle?
So on Saturday, we have the long-awaited flag plant out at Bernie Fisher Park. Very, very exciting. And we've had, I should have pulled this up before this. We've been rocking and rolling out of Bernie Fisher for a couple months now.
Yeah.
And so Rump Roast has got some special things planned for us. He hasn't even shared with those of us who are like co-queuing with him on it. We're in the planning, so I'm sure there will be plenty of spinning something and others. Oh, yeah. And plenty of laughs.
If you've never been to a Rump Roast led queue, like beatdown, just it is something else.
Oh, it's a treat.
So take all of.
Bring all of your silliness.
All of it.
That's probably the best way to say that. Any of your reservations of preserving your dignity and just leave them in your car, boys.
And you will still be thoroughly impressed with the level of energy that Rump brings.
So I'll smoke the living daylights out of you. And smile the whole time.
More than once I have heard him say as a call out, it's like, on my whoop.
Yes. Yes.
You are not wrong.
Am I selling this? I feel like I'm selling this.
So if you want to come see Peak Rump Roast and the other men of Bernie Fisher out in CUNA, we got a stellar lineup of cues. They're going to be leading there, showcasing all that Bernie Fisher Park has got to offer. Please come out on Saturday, support the flag plant. And then following the beatdown, we are going to be doing cafeteria at the Pork Belly. Rumor has it that the owner of Pork Belly has been EH'd into letting us commandeer half of the establishment and got some servers dedicated to us. It'll be a good time.
It's on the internet now. That's a commitment.
It is a commitment, yeah. And it sounds like if you come out, if you want to eat breakfast or not, it doesn't matter. Get coffee.
Yeah.
Don't let buying breakfast be a hindrance there, because it is supposed to be like 5 degrees.
Yeah.
And so the executive decision was made to spare some toesies and take that cafeteria indoors.
Very good. So make sure check with your regular Saturday AO and make sure whether or not they're going to be closed or open this Saturday. I know a number of AOs are closing, so we can send gentlemen out here to honor and launch AO Interceptor there in CUNA. So this is a time coming, so make plans accordingly, boys.
Yeah. And then I think we've got the Capitol Flag Plant coming up on March 8th at the Capitol Grounds. That is also a High Desert Convergence. So mark your calendars, and if you can make it out there, please come out. That'll be a great time. I know Backslash is doing a great job with the kind of the back-to-basics, bodyweight style, boot camp beatdowns. They've got a lot of guys coming out right there on the Capitol Grounds. It's a good time. So mark your calendars, March 8th.
If you guys haven't been out to the Capitol one yet, that's a sweet spot.
Yeah.
My wife and I were walking down downtown Boise after a work holiday party. We're just commenting how, like, oh, my wife's like, this is a beautiful, beautiful spot. Like, go out for like a walk, do like, things like that. And I was like, you know, we actually work out here like twice a week. And she thought it was pretty cool. So it's a great spot if you haven't been out yet.
Just whatever you do, make sure you ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
That's a lot. Don't ask. Just ring it.
And then coming up a little further out in our calendars here, but still something to keep our eyes on, because you're not going to want to just walk up and participate in this one. This is our next CSOP. And for those of you who do not know what a CSOP is, it is completely stupid and utterly pointless. And if any of you guys have been to the last CSOP, it was 16 hours long. We're looking at targeting another 16-hour long CSOP here. Just this one's going to be a 50-mile ruck. So it's going to start Friday night, overnight, rocking the Greenbelt. Greenbelt happens to be approximately 25 miles.
So Friday night, what day?
Oh, April 25th.
There you go. That's important context.
That is very, very important. It is coming up very soon. We're going to start overnight. We're going to rock the Greenbelt overnight. Up to plan right now is tentatively is to get to Lucky Peak Park, have a transition point for folks who maybe just want to do 25, come out and swap out. Or if you want to drop gear, refresh gear, water, lickies, chewies, snackies, and then hit back to the pavement and do the Greenbelt. So 50 miles. Teddy, if you haven't seen the article yet, posted it in the CSOP channel. It's the Art of Manliness wrote up a good article about Teddy Roosevelt and JFK and their challenge to the U.S. military, actually, as a part of health initiatives in the country to go tackle 50 miles in 20 hours. And if we do 50 miles and we ruck at a 20-minute mile pace, which I've been timing our last couple rucks out at Tower, we average between 16 to 18. If you average a 20-minute mile for 50 miles at 16 hours, conveniently the same length of our last ESOP, may or may not be intentional. Yeah,
didn't Teddy give you 3 days to do it, though?
Teddy was soft.
We're swinging a bigger stick.
Sir, you are going to be visited in your dreams this evening.
The ghost of Teddy.
It's not Freddy. It's Teddy. Ooh, that's a bold statement.
I'm going to pay for that one day.
Well, very good, man. I'm so glad you're just taking the bully by the horns. Can we get one more pun? A Teddy Roosevelt pun?
It'll come to
because we got three, so
something about a bear.
We're about maxed out, but very good. So thank you for putting this on and kind of organizing this. So guys, do not attempt to do this cold. Mm-hmm. If you've never done multiple miles, if you've never done more than just an hour under a ruck and that kind of weight, like you need to find somebody who's done this before. Find one of those runners, ask them what it's like and what you need to be prepared for and things that you need to do for a long distance like this. Like, this is not something to attempt cold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Body glide.
And invest body glide.
In body glide.
There's a lot of guys that have done Grow Ruck before. Mm-hmm. And this is not a dissimilar format. So talk to a guy that's done Grow Ruck. They can give you some pointers.
Yeah.
And there's also guys that are willing to go ruck with you, do a double down, or go on a Saturday morning, do some extended time underweight. So
yeah,
plenty of time.
And I would say unlike Grow Ruck, we're not carrying any logs. There's going to be no sandbag carries unless said person, if you bring it, plan to carry it 50 miles or at least the 25 miles to the drop point where you can drop it and then drop weight. I would say don't show up expecting other people to carry your weight for you.
Oh, yeah. I'll help. But it's going to cost you words.
Oh, yeah. and I would say, too, if rucking 50 miles is intimidating to you, but walking 50 miles it sounds doable, show up and do that.
Yes.
My plan is to hit 35 pounds. I looked up kind of what the average pack weight of a U.S. military member back in those days were, and it was more closely aligned to that 35 pounds dry, right, if you look at the wars we were fighting at those times. So my plan is 35 pounds in the ruck dry. So if you need weight, see Wallflower. He may or may not have these perfectly sized cutouts of granite from his work that they toss. So he now rolls around to AOs with granite cutouts in his truck.
It's a bougie ruck.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's great. You throw some duct tape on it and it's great. He's like drug dealing out the back of his truck. So if you need weight for your ruck, check out Wallflower, hit him up on Slack, or catch him out at a beatdown. Shameless plug for Wallflower there.
All right. So moving on from completely stupid and utterly pointless into completely stupid. I don't know why you'd start F3 in the middle of winter. We've got FNGs.
Yeah.
So here's our list. It's not going to be as long as our last one, but we appreciate you guys all the same if somehow you found this channel. So since this last month, we've got Rambo.
Nice.
Simba. So let's never speak
of this. We got a song too. Again.
Sparky.
Nice.
My favorite from this list. Trophy Wife.
Oh, dang.
I need to find that name.
Who named that?
Then we've got Flipper, Rambler, and Wolverine.
Wolverine?
Who gave somebody Wolverine? That is too kind.
You are very lucky, sir.
You have no idea how lucky you are.
Maybe it's a sideburn thing.
Oh, it could be.
You know. Sounds like we've got some naming stories we got to catch up
yes,
on.
Yes, sir. But so, guys, thank you. Welcome. I hope this is finding you still out there and active and posting. So get after it and enjoy the cold, man. It gets well, I'd say better, but it doesn't. It still sucks when it's warm.
Yeah.
But Cortana, we got milestones.
Yeah, we got
too.
Some beatdown milestones. So coming up at 100 beatdowns, we've got Maverick and Upright. Congratulations,
congrats.
You guys. That first 100. It's a very exciting milestone to hit. So good work on hitting that, you guys. At 200, we got Robin. All right, Robin hitting 200.
Yeah, smack, bang, pow.
Yeah. So congrats, Robin, on 200. Rounding out 300, we've got three here. Old Spice, Moab, and Grout.
Hey. So.
Do we know who won the race, 300?
Old Spice.
Old Spice.
Old Spice got it.
But I think it was only like 4 or 5 days. So
you didn't know Moab and Old Spice were racing the 300.
Well, so you guys, congratulations on the Spartan 300 milestone there. That's an incredible feat. So those guys have been around for a long time. If you see them, congratulate them. At 400, we got Timney.
Oh,
Timney, the Nantan himself.
Nantan himself, rounding out 400. So congrats there, Timney. And at 500, we've got Retina, the man, the myth, the legend.
Tina himself.
Yep.
Nice work, Retina.
So that, if you see any of those guys, congratulate them, shake their hands, give them a hug. We can all aspire to continue to show up the way that they've been showing up. So congrats to all.
Yeah, absolutely. Proud of all of you guys. So that concludes the regularly scheduled portion of the program. And now we're moving in more of the freeform side of this, where we kind of pick a subject that's kind of on our hearts and on our minds, and we kind of ramble about it and hopefully provide some value and some thought-provoking provocations. I'm a wordsmith.
There you go.
I was looking for something.
I am nailing this.
Thought-provoking provocations with Hooch.
It's going to be a rough ride. Boom. Teddy Roosevelt with pun number 3.
But hey. There you
didn't
go.
Think we had it, did you?
You saved me.
So I think last time we were on here, we discussed a little bit about resolutions.
Yeah.
And so let's do a quick resolution check-in. I think if you're out there and you've made a resolution for this year, or you put it in that goals channel, or you have a confidant or a shield lock or somebody out there, you need to be doing your check-ins, right? So, Cortana, how's those pull-ups coming along?
So, actually pretty good. So, I bought a pull-up bar, I took a page out of – I'm going to shout out Faceplant, because he said every time he goes in the garage, he tries to do one or two pull-ups. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not quite that consistent, but I'm at least trying to get in – between 5 and 10 a day. Good, you know, solid form pull-ups. So they're getting slightly easier now. So yeah, we're getting there. I can do more than one, which is more than I could say a month ago.
That's good. That's good.
Very cool. So for mine, I ended up diving in and having some other guys join me on committing to participating and trying to complete 75 hard. So Cortana's in here with me.
Yeah.
It's been a ride, man. So we're 22 days into this. It is difficult. It's had a couple of bad days where you get in the middle of the day and it's like, man, I'm way behind on some of my measurables and things I need to accomplish. And the things that you have to eliminate and cut out start creeping into your thoughts and into some of those habits and things that you engage in, you know, normally. So, but it's been good just in this last 22 days. I mean, I've lost a little more than 10 pounds. Wow. So some major progress there.
That's great.
And that's kind of just the initial shock. I think my body just going, oh my God,
what are you doing?
So my goal, you know, we got, you know, 50, about 50 more days left. And my goal is to get down below 250 or at 250 mm-hmm. by the end of this. So to get down another 10 or 12 pounds there. So we're on course. I mean, the struggle is real, but I mean, the commitment is it's from everybody who's in there in our Slack channel talking about it and logging everything in. The support's been amazing.
Yeah.
So really appreciate all you guys there in that Slack channel. If you're listening to this, just keep it up. I know it's hard, but we're going to make it. Yeah. We're going to make it, and we're going to carry a lot of this stuff through. So 75 is just the beginning.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another 40 minutes. How about you, Doodle? I'm trying to recall what you had for a resolution. What were you pushing for?
Trying to hit the 1,000-pound club squat, deadlift, and bench. It's a slow grind. It's every day, or not every day, it's every week, having the set schedule of lifts I need to hit and sticking to those even. I'm still trying to post in the mornings to get that work in. And then I'm having the opposite problem of I'm trying to put on some weight to do this and trying to eat the right things and not just throw junk calories into my body. I wanted to hit 50 mile ruck this year. So I'm dragging you all with me.
There you go.
he's trying to do it by quarter two.
I got big goals.
Really want to clean up these resolutions so I can just enjoy the rest of the summer.
Well, I wanted to hit on, you know, the thing I took away from our resolution setting last time is each of our goals that we set this year, or resolutions, goals, however you want to put it, so we set this year requires a great deal of discipline to get there. All right, there's not none of these goals are set in a vain attempt to say, hey, I can do this in one or two days, right? I can do this. I can wake up a morning and just get her done. They all take commitment, discipline, in order to see them all the way through, right? Obviously, 75 hard is very obvious. You got 75 days of these tasks I have to hit, and if I don't hit them, I fail.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
1,000-pound club, a very different style of discipline, right? It's a week to week. It's not, maybe it's not quite I have a daily checklist I need to go hit. If I need to hit during this week, and it takes a level of planning in that to say, hey, like in order to achieve these things, I need to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. I mean, but without discipline, that goal is never going to be achieved.
Oh, no.
Right? If you're not there on a scheduled plan, not burning yourself out, two, eating the things that you need to put on the extra muscle mass, performing the correct lifts in the correct manner, with good form to avoid injury. All of that requires, you know, that discipline. So let's start with this. What are kind of personal definitions of what discipline is, and how does that apply that, and why does that mean anything?
So I was taking some notes on what discipline looks like for me, right? Mm-hmm. And I've got two different tracks, I should say, on discipline, right? There's things that I need to do every single day to make sure I'm successful. There's things I need to make sure I do on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis to make sure I'm successful. So for me, discipline is the cadence to which I accomplish tasks in order to continue to accelerate in all aspects of my life, right?
So let me pause. I'm going to stop the conversation there for just a second. How much of that is like conscious thought or like actively checking off, and how much of that has just become routine that you take for granted?
I think I'll say that's a good little question. I might take this in a direction maybe you weren't intending, right? Once something becomes a habitual routine and that you automatically subscribe to without thought, is that still discipline, or does that become just a part of who you are and what you do?
I think that becomes a habit.
A habit, yeah.
I think it's just something that you do now. So right. It took discipline to get there.
Right. So I bring that because I'm kind of, so I'm going to look at it. If you asked me a year ago what discipline looked like, for me, it's almost 2 years now, it was not drinking, right? And that was a check the box every day. Did I drink? Yes, no. Super easy. Did I make the conscious decision, the yes, no decision to go do or not do, in this case, this, right? And so that was, you know, more constant. And then it turned into a, who I am habit sort of things. Like I just the day I knew I made it, or not made it, I was like, it's always going to be a battle. But the day I knew that I had, something had changed mentally for me was not a day I said I was, I went from, I said, saying I quit drinking to when I told somebody who just, without thinking, I said, oh, I just don't drink.
Hmm.
You know, and that, so that day it kind of said, was that a moment for me where my mindset completely flipped and that was now my new norm? And, you know, versus a something I continually strive to, I had to actively think about at every minute of every day to go get done, right? I would say, so that's kind of like a nuanced way of saying, like, how do we draw the line from discipline to habit?
I like where you're headed with that. Let's come back to that when we, because mm-hmm. Part of this conversation, I want to talk about why is discipline so hard to achieve and why is it so hard to maintain. So mm-hmm. let's address that when we get there. What have you got, Cortana? What's discipline look like for you? How are you conceptualizing it?
Yeah. So discipline for me is doing something that I know is good for me, even if I don't want to do it.
Okay.
So regardless of how I'm feeling, waking up when it's 8 degrees outside, getting up anyway and doing that because I know it's going to benefit me and those around me.
Yeah, so kind of foregoing a short-term pleasure in efforts to advance towards a long-term goal.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes a short-term pleasure is the donut.
Yep.
And sometimes a short-term pleasure is, man, it's a lot more comfortable here inside my house in my fuzzy bunny slippers. Right?
Have you been watching?
I know you. Don't tell me you don't look like a fuzzy bunny slipper man. But yeah, so typically human beings, we're typically pretty hedonistic. Like we're prone to those temptations of the flesh, and they move in one of two directions: things that are pleasurable and things that avoid the most amount of pain that I can. And it takes a conscious effort to move us away from the things that we know are pleasurable and towards the things that we know are going to be uncomfortable and put us in discomfort. And it's that discipline that tells us that thing is bad for me and making this choice is going to be good for me. And that thing over there, which is uncomfortable that I don't want to do, is actually good for me in the long term. Right? It takes an imposition of will to make that decision and flip that switch. As I've been going through 75 hard, it's really interesting because there's an internal pressure to succeed in this. You know, hey, I committed to this. I want to do this. I want to accomplish this for myself, and I want to get to where I want to be. And within the context of F3 and having a group of people that are also pushing me that I'm accountable to, I also have an exterior pressure mm-hmm. on me helping mm-hmm. to enforce that discipline as well.
Right.
So it's flipping those switch and turning those, you know, maybe short-term decisions into things that become long-term habits. And as I've been thinking about that, I've been thinking more of discipline as kind of an internal mechanism which allows us to live with integrity.
Hmm.
Right? So discipline is doing that right thing. And a lot of the times we talk about integrity is doing the right thing no matter who's looking or if nobody's looking. Discipline's the exact same way. When you're given that choice between the short-term pleasure, which is going to delay your ability to get towards your long-term goal, are you going to avoid it or are you going to lean into it?
Right.
Are you going to do the uncomfortable things that get you to where you want to be, even though it's uncomfortable right now? Do you have the discipline? Do you have the integrity to look towards that long-term goal and put it into action? So again, integrity is that internal mechanism which helps us live with integrity. What do you guys think about that? Am I throwing something that sticks on the wall here?
Yeah, no, I think that sticks because last week I was traveling, I was out of town, and doing 75 hard while traveling is even harder because I'm outside of my normal accountability circle.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously I've got Slack, I've got you guys on the channel there, but I was the only person in the hotel gym every night on the treadmill. And it's like, if I stopped, no one would know.
Mm.
Right. So there's that integrity piece of, I can do this because I committed to it. I HC'd. I've got guys that are counting on me to finish this. My wife is holding me accountable. I have to do this because I would not be a man of integrity if I didn't.
And all you'd have to do to get the credit was open up the spreadsheet
and check the box. That's all you'd have to do.
I mean, that's when discipline has to come with a strong sense of personal why.
Yes. Right?
Discipline should be the answer to a challenge or a question. Oh, geez, I had a better way of saying that in my head. But like it should, without an internal why or answer to problem, without an internal problem, and this is the answer to, you will lack, it'll be very hard to hold discipline, yeah. Right?
So, have you ever read Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl?
No, I haven't read that
one. Viktor Frankl was a Jew imprisoned in camps during the Holocaust, during World War II. And he was a psychologist and going through that. So while he was in the camps, he was just thinking about surviving. And as he survived that and recorded the experiences later, one of the things that he realized, and I'm gonna hopefully quote him correctly, is a man with a why can endure anyhow.
Wow. I like that.
A man with a why can endure anyhow. So the idea that I'm going to live by a certain code, I'm going to live by a certain set of rules of live a life of virtue, and whatever that means that it costs me to live by that, that's what it's going to cost. And in those situations, it costs a lot of people their lives to live with integrity in those situations, you know, to not swap somebody's name on a transport list, to not go and steal another person's food so that you could squeeze out another day. You know, to make sure that you ended up on a work party and maybe somebody else didn't. And, you know, and here today, sitting here, we're wrestling with, you know, much, much more trivial things. But as you're saying, the concept still applies. If I know why I'm doing something, it gives me the purpose. It gives me that motivation to know what the underlying purpose of kind of my suffering in that moment is.
Right.
And if I can accept, hey, I'm going to suffer, but on the other side of the suffering, here's the benefit. Here's what I stand to gain by enduring this and committing to this pathway. That's a big deal. So
when it comes back to the principle of faith that we were talking about last podcast, it's like living for yourself as a jackass. If you're in that situation, you're not going to live with integrity. You're going to live for yourself. You're going to do whatever it takes to preserve oneself.
The pleasure and the avoidance of pain and discomfort becomes the motivation, becomes the purpose.
But if you've got a purpose that's higher than you, that's outside yourself, that's for others or for your creator or, you know, whatever your faith is in, your purpose can be, your purpose is then outside of you, right? So you're living for something else.
Now let's, I guess, deviate. So if we have a strong why, right?
Yeah.
We have a strong why that we can lean into when it gets hard. We have a strong why and a strong core group of people. Let's assume these assumptions, right? You have a strong why. You have a strong group of people, a spouse, shield lock, who also are bought into your why and know how to support you in that why. Let's talk about grace.
So define grace. I have a definition of grace, and I don't know. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. So for me, as it was explained to me, and I really like this as another man defined this for me, it's grace is undeserved love.
Yeah, I've heard it as unmerited favor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Similar.
So here's the big thing. So I think with the previous conversation, I think we answered a question that I wanted to ask, and it's like, why is discipline important? And I think we did a good job of answering that. And it's because that discipline serves higher purpose.
Right.
And drives us to do things that we wouldn't otherwise do, to identify the why and the path that we're going to have to walk to get there. Why is discipline so hard to achieve? Why is it so hard to maintain something that I'm trying to stay disciplined in? And so I'm going to get to answering that question about grace.
I can say where you're going.
We all have our jesters, right? To use our F3 vernacular and verbiage, right? Those temptations of the flesh that are unique to every single man, right? Whether that's food, pornography, alcohol, drugs, anger, violence, whatever that jester is that's holding you back, that's keeping you from achieving that why, that's there. And it's powerful. And sometimes it wins.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not going to be perfect in everything that you're doing. Sometimes you're going to make mistakes. You're going to slip. You're going to slide back. And the thing that gets people is they look at those mistakes and they look at those failures and they say, that's who I am.
I think there's a certain level of discipline that it takes to have fallen off of that or fallen away, right, from what it is, receiving that grace from your support group, right? And it should come from a place of love, but it should also come from a firm affirm, like, hey, we get that you fucked up. Does not deny you fell off of where your track was. Let's not deny the fact that you did not uphold your end of the bargain here.
Candor still applies.
Candor still applies.
Right? Hard truth spoken, tempered by love.
Love. Right. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. And they, and part of that discipline is then recognizing that and then getting back into your routine, into that 75 hard. Maybe that means your people holding you accountable and saying, hey, you slipped up one day. Guess what? This is day one, 75 hard.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it takes a level of humility, especially mm-hmm. as a man, to admit, yeah, I screwed up mm-hmm. and I got to start over.
This was completely within my control.
Right.
And by mm-hmm. my own hand and my own actions and my own will, I failed.
Because I think it's within, and I'll speak for myself, it's within my nature to want to feel sorry for myself, to throw a pity party, to...
Oh, I ruminate hard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's pride. And it's like, we have to put that mm-hmm. off, humble ourselves, be like, okay, let's start over, you know, and accept that grace from other people. Because a lot of times, for me, I don't necessarily want the help. I'm like, nah, I can handle this on my own. Thanks, mm-hmm. but no thanks. Take the grace, take the candor,
yeah.
with the grain of, you know, with humility.
Take your lickings.
yeah.
So here's where it hits me, and this is how it affects me. And I've talked about this in a couple of circles of trust. It's the small defeats that you let slip into your day, right? It's committing to that diet and then saying, nah, it's just a soda.
Right.
It's gonna be cool. I'm just gonna one soda. And you know what that one small defeat is gonna equal? It breaks down your willpower to resist the next time that you're tempted to that next defeat. And it makes that one easier. And the next one even easier. And the next one even easier. And all of a sudden you don't even recognize what you were fighting.
Right.
I'm going to steal one of your guys' thunder here. I think we were talking about this before the podcast. There's freedom and discipline. I think which one of you were saying that one? Is that you?
Oh, yeah, that's Jocko Willink, man. Yeah, freedom and discipline. Discipline equals freedom.
Right. And so I think what you're kind of going off there, too, is I'm going to use an example here. All right, I'm going to use some of my goals, right? And on knowing myself and knowing that I am fairly disciplined in working out, and I'm also disciplined in knowing that if I can, knowing when to take a rest day in order to help my body recover, and disciplined to know, hey, I need to work on accessory lifts and things like that. So there's some freedom in the fact that I know that I am disciplined enough to keep at my goal in terms of working out. I have things that are set during the week that need to happen. I have recovery plans, and I'm disciplined in the planning of those things. Where I'm not disciplined in is consumption of alcohol. Right. And you're talking about that soda, right? Mm-hmm. I've tried it before. I know I've gotten to the point where I was like, hey, I was 2 months sober, did this. I'm good. I don't need it. I can have one more sip. Right. And then, you know, there's different things have different levels of addiction. Right. Mm-hmm. But my one thing is I'm disciplined in my working out and then I can take a rest day. I am not disciplined enough in alcohol that I can have freedom within alcohol to say I can have one or I can have a sip because it is going to spiral and not be where it is. So there's, in some ways, you know, I see freedom and discipline in that I am disciplined enough to perform my workouts and know when a rest day and smart sack it. I am not disciplined enough with alcohol that I have the freedom to go mess around with it. Does that make sense?
So I'm going to put it, it's going to be two different things, mm-hmm. right? One, if I'm disciplined in my diet, right, and I can get that dialed in and my queen is in a good place and my fitness is supporting that with my king and I'm in a good place, the donut isn't a huge issue at that mm-hmm. point.
You have
right?
freedom.
I have some freedom there. Like I can have a piece of cake at my kid's birthday party, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to be every single day I have a piece of cake. It's very intermittent. So being disciplined allows me that freedom to be undisciplined in some moments.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think it's more important, it's my discipline gives me freedom to have other outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm disciplined with the way that I manage my finances, I have freedom to do things that I wouldn't have otherwise. If I'm disciplined in my fitness, I am now capable of doing things. I have the freedom to achieve things that I would not be able to achieve if I didn't have that discipline beforehand.
Yeah.
Right? There's kind of this maxim in self-defense and firearms training throughout law enforcement and military. It's like, you will not rise to the occasion you will fall to the level of your most consistent training. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Discipline's the exact same way. In those moments of hardship and trial, you're going to fall back to your highest level of maintained discipline. Yeah. And I think that's where we're getting at with what you were talking about. When does discipline turn into a habit?
Right.
Right? And I think F3, the best kind of, you know, verbiage and analogy that we have there, it's guardrails. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I need external help to put my guardrails up. Hell, maybe I don't even know I'm off the road. And somebody helps put me on the path and says, I can walk that way. All right. And walk the line. And they got to hold my hand for a while. And then I'm running on my own. And then I'm bumping up against something. It's like, what the heck was that? Those are my guardrails. Those are those daily disciplines that I'm establishing. And as I become more practiced and I exercise discipline again and again and again, all of a sudden now those guardrails become made of something a little bit stronger every single step. So I don't think just because something becomes a habit and we can do it without like having to check it off the list or having to consciously think about it at the beginning of my day that I'm going to do this throughout, it's still a discipline. Mm-hmm. It still takes us making those choices. Maybe they're not at the forefront of our mind. Maybe they're not as torturous as they used to be. Maybe it's a little bit easier because I've exercised that discipline so many times. I know I'm capable of it. And I've seen the positive outcomes come from exercising discipline in those moments when I'm confronted with my temptations. And I know the lies that my jester is going to tell me. So I don't have to entertain them. I don't have to think about it. Yeah. I know that's a lie. So I can turn away from it and make the proper decision in those moments.
So if I'm hearing you right now, we tend to associate discipline with only the hardest, most outward expressions of that discipline, right? When I think discipline, you think the Navy SEALs, you think of like 75 hard, right? You think of the ridiculously hard things we try and go hit. And we tend to neglect some of the, it's the little decisions that you make every day that define discipline, like true discipline.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. I think I was reading How to Think Like a Roman Emperor last night or two nights ago. Great book on Stoicism if you've never read it. Really good. But there was something in there. It was basically, maybe I'm misquoting this, but it was essentially making decisions. Oh, I'm going to misquote this. I'm not going to say it because I'm going to misquote it. But it's talking about, you know, daily decisions and how we make them, mm-hmm. and what they mean in your grand scheme of your day, right? Mm-hmm. And dissociating comfort from the correct choice. Is that I butchered it. I totally butchered. Read the book. No, it's better.
So can I switch gears just a little bit?
Yeah.
So let me come back to one thing here and then go right ahead.
Yeah.
Because we typically associate that endorphin, that dopamine hit that we get from doing something that's pleasurable, because our brain wants us to be safe, right? Getting away from discomfort, engaging in things that are pleasurable, like our body and our brain and our biology and our chemistry is built to push us in that direction. So what you're talking about, it's simple biology, man. It's how we're built.
Pain is important. Keeps us alive.
100%.
Comfort crisis. That's a good plug.
Yeah. So understanding when we have to lean away from that, when too much pleasure and too much comfort now becomes
a detriment,
100%. I think that's an important thing to recognize. So, I mean, you're on point, man.
What I'm also taking away from this is we all read a lot of books. We're just terrible at quoting them.
That's why I have not quoted a book yet. So.
That was the first and last time I'm going to do that.
I'm going to quote Q-Source only because I have it in front of me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to shift gears to, I'm going to talk about habits a little bit. So I was reading in Positive Habit Transfer. So that's Q-Source Q2.4 if you're interested in reading it. But it breaks down the difference between negative habits, neutral habits, and positive habits. And it got me thinking because it defines it. So I'll read it here. So a negative habit is one that is damaging to the individual who engages in it or the people who might be affected by it or both. A neutral habit is one that's neither damaging nor advantageous, but then it goes on to say it has no significant effect, so basically it's a waste of time, right? That's a neutral habit. A positive habit, or a brick, as the Q-Source calls it, is a regular tendency that is advantageous to the individual or others. And I got to thinking, like, what are my habits? and how do they fall into these buckets? And actually, I made a spreadsheet because I wanted to. I thought this was a worthwhile exercise, and I know those listening can't see on the TV here, but I want to show. I can share this in Slack. I think we can do that. This is the spreadsheet that I put together, and these are just examples. So I listed the habits, what type they are, if they're negative, neutral, or positive. I wrote who it affects, and then what the impact is on that person.
Who does it? I like that.
And so I had to really think about some of these, and some of these are trivial. You know, for example, this was one of the additions to 75 Hard that I mentioned, who driving through to grab coffee instead of making it at home, right? I spend a ton of money driving through Black Rock and getting a nitro cold brew. I love it, but I waste too much money on that. Mm-hmm. That's a negative habit, right? It affects me. It affects my wife because she balances the budget and I mess it up every time I spend that money. So I'll share this in Slack. I think this is an interesting exercise if you're interested in just kind of reflecting on what are the habits that you're, that are negatively affecting you, or like, what do you need to purge from your life? And then where do you need to be more disciplined? You know, what are the positive habits that you're disciplined in? It kind of sheds light on those things. So I thought it was interesting. I don't know what you guys think about that, but so that's positive habit transfer. I did want to read this because it kind of goes back to what Doodle was saying. It says, because positive habits are easy to slip out of, the him must also take measures to ensure that his own guardrails are not crumbling while he is trying to help others build theirs. The pursuit of proper personal alignment that is at the heart of the get right is not a static undertaking. Having gotten right, a him remains susceptible to backsliding into misalignment with himself, his concentrica, and his creator if he is not vigilant in his efforts to continue to accelerate. A major component of this effort is accountability, the submission to a standard through enforcement and consequence. Without accountability, a him will not be able to keep his own bricks in place long enough to pass them on to anyone else. So it goes on to talk about, you know, ultimately these habits we want to pass down to those around us, or, you know, to our kids if we have kids. The tail end of this says none of us alone is a great man, right? So the idea is we want to pass those habits down. But so I kind of went a little bit of a different direction with the discipline, but I think building those positive habits is a key part of that.
No, I like that a lot. It's actually the good, bad, and different is also another very stoic philosophy thing too. Because I took away from that, and I was kind of thinking about looking at just mentally running through that exercise very briefly in my head in the 30 seconds here that I had to do it, is overcommitment. Right? So we can overcommit ourselves to habits, right? I can identify probably like in my head 15 or 20 different things I could do daily that would have a positive impact on my life. But the aggregate of all those together would be a negative, would have their own negative consequences, because you only got 24 hours in a day, and you probably need at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep. Sure. And then you need to spend an hour with your wife and an hour with your kids, or, you know, throwing numbers out there. And work's going to take 8 to 12 hours out of your day. And then you got to take a shit, and you got to take a shower, and you got to shave. And unless you're, yeah, I don't shave. There you go. I got 5 minutes back in my day. Yeah. So I think that's a good exercise to do, because I think a lot of times, and I get in this too, my wife will catch me on it. It's like, oh, if I only did this more often, if I was more disciplined in this, if I was more disciplined in my life, goes, where would you fit that in?
Yeah.
In your day. So I think it's a good exercise to do, because some of your habits could have indifferent consequences, negative consequences, and positive consequences. Right. I talked to my wife before setting my goal. You know, I think if you have a hugely impactful goal, you should probably engage the people who spend the most amount of time with you in it on the feasibility of that goal and what that goal will do to them, right? I can't go say I'm going to go do 1,000 pounds. It's going to take, you know, a couple hours a week to go do this on top of my already regular scheduled beatdowns. Do I physically have the time to go be disciplined in this? And that should be part of your planning to be disciplined, is can I physically accomplish this in the time that I have, and how's it aligned with my other habits and good disciplines that I have?
Yeah, it's good.
So, end of the day, why is discipline important? How do we do it? And where does it fit in for you? And the answer is, it's complicated. Just as Dude, you're talking about, like, life is dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. there is no such thing as work-life balance, right? There's only commitments that we have, and at one time or another, one commitment's going to need more of your time and more of your effort and energy than another one does. And you're going to have to prioritize that stuff. Which one is more important? All right, my kids need me today. Well, that means I need to sacrifice this thing over here that I've been putting my time and my effort into. Mm-hmm. And am I willing to do that? Is that something that's beneficial? Does that get me closer to achieving my why?
Full circle. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. So guys, if you don't know what your why is, you're wandering through the desert and you need to get that right. If you don't know how to get on the path to start walking that road to get there, talk to somebody, man. Find somebody who's walking in that direction. Find somebody that you admire that does something really well that you wish you could do better. And talk to that man. Because you know what? We only get faster by chasing a man who's faster than we are. Aye?
Aye.
Unless it's Retina, then he's lapping you.
He's faster.
I guarantee you if you chased him, you will get faster.
Yeah.
This is true.
And that's what it is, right? We're not trying to measure ourselves by some other standard other than what we have. We're measuring by our own standard and measuring ourselves mm-hmm. by ourselves. And that's the discipline. But hell, that's part of being disciplined, right? Understanding where those thoughts are that, you know, I need to keep myself grounded and in a reasonable space. Yeah. So
where am I? Where do I want to be? And how do I get there?
Heck yeah. Draw a map, baby. So thank you guys hanging in here. I know this has been a little bit of a longer episode. I hope the thoughts here at the end have brought you to a better place and that we can create some discussion and start pushing forward. So this has been Hooch,
Cortana,
and Doodle
signing off, guys. See you in the gloom.